Would you turn, please, with me tonight to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Just for the context here, Luke chapter 5 is really it's Jesus calling his disciples, the initial call of his disciples. And so that's where we pick up here in this fifth chapter of Luke. And notice as we begin reading in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that's another name for the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." There are some interesting thoughts that the Lord gave me from these verses that I've just read to you, and I wanted to share some of them with you tonight. So let's first of all pause and look to the Lord in prayer, and then let's see what the Lord has for us here. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful account that we've just read in the Gospel of Luke. We thank you for the fact that this is just one of the examples of what we've sung about already tonight, that nothing is impossible to you. Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts from this passage and accomplish what you desire to be accomplished through the sending forth of your word. We give you the thanks, and we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention right from the first verse that I've read is, do you see the people pressing toward him? It says they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Why are people flocking to Jesus? Why are people pressing and wanting to hear the word of God? Well, I would simply say this. They had to have some recognition that he had something to offer that they needed. They had a sense of need, perhaps that something was lacking in their life that Jesus could, he could meet that need. He could satisfy that need. He could make up for that lack. Certainly, unsaved people, if they are honest with themselves and with others, they would have to admit that they have a great need. They have something lacking in their life. But you know what? Even so, believers, saved people, often feel like something's missing in their Christian life. Maybe that's how you feel tonight, that something's missing in your Christian life, that there must be more than what you have experienced as a believer. There has to be more to the Christian life than this. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, obviously, you're missing the basic reason for which you exist as a human being. Personal saving relationship with Jesus is what life is about. But if you are a believer, if you're a saved person, and your Christian life is spiritually flatlined, you've really lost the purpose, and you've lost usefulness. And what I would recommend tonight is that you need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus. That's what's missing. Not only in unsaved people's lives, but in saved people's lives, an encounter with Jesus. Perhaps that's the missing part in your life tonight. I want you to see something else here. In verses 2 and 3, Jesus is on the move. People are pressing upon him, but Jesus is on the move. And I want us to make no mistake about it. And I hope that you keep your mind focused on what the Lord might have for us here. Don't make any mistake about it. Clearly, the first move in any kind of an encounter with the Lord is on the part of the Lord Jesus himself. He's the initiator. He's the start of it. Jesus initiates all encounters that any human being ever has with him. In fact, even a desire to encounter Jesus begins with him. He puts it into your heart. If you desire even to have a meeting with the Lord, to have fellowship with him, to have an encounter with him, it's because he has placed that desire in your heart. And all who come to him are drawn to him by the Lord himself. He's on the move. He's the one that is the start of this. But you know what? It also involves you having a say in it. There's something for you to say. There's something that you need to say. And by that, I mean, you need to ask, you need to beg God to either put in your heart or strengthen in your heart a desire for an encounter with him. You need to beg him to do that. That God would spiritually breathe upon your life. That's something that I think you have a say in. And I believe that God responds to us when we sincerely ask him, Lord, breathe upon me. I think he'll answer you. But it all begins with him starting that and putting that desire into your heart. Now, in verses 4 and 5, there's a third thing that I wanted to point out to you. And that is where Jesus says to Peter, in the boat that he's in, take your boat and launch out into the deep and then let down your nets for a catch of fish. And Peter, being the experienced fisherman that he was, knew that that was not the best time to fish, nor was that the best place to fish. And yet he says, nevertheless, verse 5, at thy word, I will let down the net. He was willing to mind. You know, we want our children to mind us, don't we? We want our children to obey us. Now you better mind me, we tell them. Here is Peter minding the Lord. And I believe that that is really part of the prerequisites for an encounter with Jesus. And that is that you are willing to mind him. You're willing to obey him. This is really a challenge that Jesus puts forth to Peter. Jesus is testing Peter. You know what he does? He challenges us. He tests us in order to develop our obedience, even when it doesn't really seem to make sense as far as conventional wisdom is concerned. Jesus, he tests us to develop our obedience in order to enable us to have a real meeting with him, a real encounter with him. Because obedience is required. There is a need for a real exercise of our faith we're willing to go beyond conventional wisdom in order to really have a connection with and have an encounter with the Lord. And so it's the challenge. Launch out into the deep. Let down your net for a draft. And of course, to do that, that did not make sense to an experienced fisherman like Peter. To do that, he had to take a chance. There was a risk involved. But without that step of obedience, as a believer, you will continue to experience that sense of something is missing in my Christian life. You'll not experience an encounter with Jesus. You'll not have that empty feeling that perhaps you feel satisfied, that lack that you feel taken away without that step of obedience, exercising faith, that trust to simply do what God says, even if it doesn't make perfect sense to you. You got to take that chance. And I would say this. Is there, as you sit here tonight, as you listen, is there a step of obedience, perhaps, that you're refusing to take? Some step of obedience that you know the Lord wants you to take? Maybe it has to do with a relationship that God wants you to break off because it's not healthy spiritually for you. Or maybe it is a relationship that he wants you to build because it is good and healthy for you. Or it could be anything. Is there any step of obedience that you know the Lord wants you to take that up to this point you have refused to take it? If you don't, then you're not going to go anywhere with the Lord, and you certainly will miss any significant encounter with him. It's not going to happen. There has to be that area in which you mind him, in which you obey his request. You take up his challenge to you, as is pictured in these verses. And if you do, you know what the result will be? Look at what happens here in verses 6 through 10. Basically, a miracle. It's a miracle that happens. The result, if you will exercise that faith and take that step of obedience, the result will, it may result in a real miracle happening. Sometimes there is supernatural intervention by God that occurs when we take a simple step of faith. That's what happened here. Not sure what the result will be, but I think it'll be a good one. If you'll mind the Lord and just trust him when he tells you to do it. And look at Peter's reaction when that miracle happened. It's I think, enlightening to us. It says in verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." I understand how he felt. When you have an encounter with Jesus, when you see God at work in your life, when you come face to face with the Lord, you know it's him, it's very humbling. You really get a sense of who you are when you come face to face with Jesus. So I understand what he's saying when he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." But you know what? The truth of the matter is, that is the opposite of what he needed. He did not need Jesus to depart from him. As a sinful man, we need Jesus to embrace us. We need Jesus to come close to us. That's what that personal confession of Peter really needed. Here's a sinful person, and he needs a miraculous working Savior close to him like never before. You know, it reminds me of what Adam did. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? When God comes to walk with them in the cool of the day, they're hiding and they're fearful. And that's exactly what I see is the reaction of Peter when he is in the presence of the God of creation. He understands that he's fearful and he's hiding. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Sinful humanity feels the need to stay at a distance from a holy God. But I'm telling you, drawing near to God is the only hope that any sinner has. It's the only hope anyone has. You don't want God to depart from you. I understand why he said it, but that's not what he needed. He needed just the opposite. Lord, come near, come close, help me. That's our hope. And then look at the end result. Jesus gives a message and a mission. In the second part of verse 10, Jesus' message is, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And then in verse 11, here's the mission. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. When Jesus said in that 10th verse, "Fear not," he was actually calling them to exercise their faith in him. He was basically saying, "Look, trust me." He was saying, "Depend upon me. Depend upon me not only for now, but for the future. Depend upon me for what you're going to do. Depend upon me for your ministry." And then that's the message. The mission is, here's what I want you to do. And that 11th verse really sums it up for us. A real, a genuine encounter with Jesus will launch a believer into serving the Lord, into a ministry of reaching the lost and making and teaching disciples. If you experience Jesus's presence, you're going to be impacted, and it's going to be a lasting impact upon you. If you really encounter Jesus, I would say this, you're never going to be the same. If you really encounter the Lord, you'll never be the same. Your life will be forever changed. There will be nothing more that you desire, nothing more important to you than knowing him and following him, whatever the cost might be. Your former pursuits, they were fishermen. Your former pursuits will become secondary, and you will make seeking Jesus and encountering Jesus your lifelong quest. That's what you'll be after. Jesus's message in that 10th verse drives away the fear of him and shrinking back from him and brings them close to him, making them his lifelong followers. So, to sum it all up, I would say this: whatever you do, be sure you get to Jesus. Be sure you get to Jesus initially, but whatever you do, be sure that you get to Jesus on a regular basis, that you encounter him. That's what's wrong with you tonight, if you admit that something's lacking and something's missing. That's what's wrong with you. When was the last time you honestly had an encounter with Jesus? Come to him. He invites you to. He says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Isn't that what you're missing? He says, "Come to me, In other words, wholeheartedly seek his presence. And when you encounter Jesus like Peter, you'll be humbled at his feet with just an overwhelming sense of your own unworthiness. But from that moment on, you will be a lifelong follower that seeks to bring others to encounter Jesus too. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to some of you. That's what happens to people that encounter Jesus. There's a song that I listen to quite often because I feel that I need this all the time. And the title of the song is Breathe On Me. And here's the words. The flame in my heart used to blaze with delight, but like sparks that rise into the skies, it vanished in the night. Now I long to once again burn for you as I did then. But to even try, there's something I must ask of you. I need you to breathe on me. Breathe on me. It's been so long since the fire within burned bright and strong. Breathe on me. Breathe on me like a gentle breeze, Lord. I ask you, please, to tenderly breathe on me. Here's another verse. It isn't that I've lost my desire. It's just that what once was a fire has dwindled again, and it needs to be kindled again. So breathe on me. Breathe on me. It's been so long since the fire within burned bright and strong. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Deep inside, I know hiding embers glow. They could grow into a flame for all to see if you'd only breathe on me. I hope that that's the desire in your heart as you sit here tonight or as you listen. Your deep desire is that you would have an encounter with Jesus and you would desire him to breathe on you, because that's what's missing and that's what you're lacking in your life, and that's why you are in the state that you are spiritually. You need God to breathe on you, and you need to ask him, to beg him to do that. You need a fresh encounter with Jesus if you've ever had one at all. Let's pray.